Welcome to the Sleep Like a Boss podcast. If you're struggling with sleep and have tried everything that Google, your friends, or Facebook groups have recommended and you're still struggling, stop looking for that one thing to fix your sleep. The human body is complex and one single supplement or lifestyle fix is likely not going to be the solution. Here on the Sleep Like a Boss podcast, we dig into all aspects of sleep for you and unravel the complexity. My name is Annika Carroll. I'm the new CEO of Sleep Like a Boss, and me and my team are here to end the epidemic of sleep deprivation. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the Sleep Like a Boss podcast. I'm super excited to have Julie Mickelson with me here today. Hi, Julie.
Hello, Annika.
I'm excited that you're here. We're going to talk about autoimmunity today because you are an expert in that field. You have a journey with autoimmunity yourself that brought you into the functional medicine world, and you are helping people with autoimmunity in your practice. That's what you've come to do.
Yes.
With everything that you've learned along the way, the hard way, unfortunately, and we'll talk about that. You are also an author, you have a podcast, the Inspired Living with Autoimmunity podcast, and I'm super happy to have you, and we're going to touch on your journey with autoimmunity, how that brought you into what you're doing today. I really want to talk about a little bit what autoimmunity actually is, because I see a lot of people are like, oh, I have something, but it doesn't bother me, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I really want to talk about women and autoimmunity. I want to talk about, of course, sleep, stress, all these fun things. And then we're also going to dive into your expertise when it comes to diet, when it comes to lifestyle, all these things where you see people doing things that might be not so beneficial. And there would maybe be 2-3 tips that you have that we can incorporate into our lives to make it easier dealing with this. Super excited to have you. And should we jump right in?
Let's do it.
Okay. Let's start in the beginning. Let's start with your journey. You had rheumatoid arthritis.
Yes.
And maybe take us there, back to the
time
that happened and what happened from there.
Yep, I was a newly single mom in my early 30s. My little kids were like 2, 4, 6.
Wow.
I had recently moved to beautiful Colorado, and I started to notice pain that I was explaining away, which I think we all do, or most of us do, because my initial pain started in my feet. And I was in Colorado, and I was hiking a lot. So I was like being logical, right? I was, getting new hiking boots, maybe orthotics. And then it was in my hands, and I just wasn't paying attention. Mm-hmm. And I always say, the body whispers, and if you don't pay attention, it gets louder and louder. And so what happened was what made me kind of feel like something else is actually really wrong. My middle son, so he was probably 4, maybe 5 at the time, woke up in the middle of the night and came into my room and, mommy, I don't feel well. I have a sore throat. I was so fatigued that I could not get up. I sent him to the kitchen I said, go get a cup of water and bring it back. And on the inside, I was like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on? That's not, oh, I didn't sleep well last night and I'm tired. This was a whole new thing. Autoimmunity on average can take about 8 years to get accurately diagnosed. I felt very, very blessed. I have a good friend who's a physician who also happens to have RA. We were having coffee and I kind of shared what was going on, and she took a look at my hands and said, you really need to go see my rheumatologist. And so I got diagnosed really quickly once I sought help, which at the time I thought was a blessing. And I was so lucky. In hindsight, I'm like, I wonder how lucky I was. I was told what everybody is, I think still told, almost everybody is still told, which is you know, you have an autoimmune condition. There's nothing you can do about it, but take the medication we're going to prescribe. And we're going to try to slow your decline and keep you as comfortable as we can for as long as we can.
Well, that's not very encouraging, is it?
It was not encouraging at all. And I believed them.
Yeah. Like,
I had never heard any other version of, and I had no autoimmunity in my family that I knew of. It wasn't, but it was like, no, well, you know, we don't know why, but you have this now. So, and I did, I took the medication and that was my first autoimmune diagnosis. And I added it to them. You know, I ended up with a Hashimoto's diagnosis. I ended up with a fibromyalgia diagnosis, you know, all the things. And I was about 11 years in, I was on 10 prescriptions. They were trying to get me to put a handicap placard on my car. I was resting while my kids are at school. I had quit work. I quit grad school. Life got really, really small. And I was exhausted. I actually remember saying to my doctor, you know, because of course they give you pain pills, right? But it was like, if you could treat the fatigue, I would deal with the pain. Mm-hmm. Like I just, and I know we're going to get into how those two play together. But my daughter came to me right around that whole time where they were trying to convince me to get a handicap placard on the car. And cause I was still mobile. I was able to walk. And so and she came in late at night one night, and she's my youngest. And she was still pretty, pretty small. And she said, "Mom, you know, please don't die and leave us."
Oh my God.
And at this point, now I'm in my mid 40s. My father had passed away at age 54, and he seemed healthy until he passed. And so I, you know, in my mind, I didn't think I would live to see 50. But there's something about knowing that your kids are laying awake at night with these worries that actually were kind of valid. And so I obviously couldn't promise her I wouldn't die. But what I did promise her in that moment changed my life and hopefully, you know, many lives of all the clients I've worked with thus far, which was that I would try everything. And it was like a light bulb went on in that moment. I really thought I had tried everything because I tried every medication that they gave me. Mm-hmm. Right. But in that moment, it was, I figured, you know, I knew I'd heard some like weird stories in passing or whatever. And I was like, I'll try anything and everything. And here I am, however many, you know, now I am 54. I did make it past 50. Life is bigger, bigger. I run two businesses. I live on a horse farm. I hike, I scuba dive. I do all the things that I could not have imagined back then. And I sleep like a rock star.
And I wake up with,
off of all the medications. I take a thyroid hormone, and I'm, you know, everybody has a different goal. I just want to feel well. And I joke, like, you know, if you meet me in an alley, I'll give you my wallet, but I'll fight for my thyroid medication. I really like my thyroid hormone. But no, that's it. And no pain, sleep well, energy. I feel better than I did, you know, in my 30s for sure, and 40s.
That is amazing. So,
and it's not me. Like, I'm not special. I mean, we're all special, but it, you know, time and time and time again with my clients, the body can heal. It truly is designed to heal if we really get to what's blocking it from doing so.
Yes. And I think one thing that I often hear from sleep clients, and I think you would agree with that from what you just said, is that they often say, "I'm broken." Either it's all my fault or I'm broken. And I disagree with that just from what you just said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, unfortunately, when we have any kind of chronic health challenge, and sleep is so important. So, you know, your clients aren't coming because they had one bad night of sleep, right? This is an ongoing struggle, and it really impacts quality of life. We begin to think we are broken and there's something wrong with our body. You know, our body is our enemy. It's fighting us. It won't, you know, and we need to integrate that again to heal. We need to realize that our body is giving us information and we just haven't understood what it's trying to say. So nobody is broken, and it's never too late to reverse things or improve things. I always tell clients, I don't know, you know, how far we'll get, you know, how much your symptoms will improve, but I know they'll improve. And they always improve more than I ever, you know, it just blows me away. The body really is miraculous.
Absolutely. Can you, because you've touched on it and you said, I've actually been diagnosed with multiple autoimmune conditions, which I think is, from how I've learned about autoimmune disease, not uncommon. Once we have one, we're kind of prone that others might show up. That's why I'm always so nervous about people who say, I have something and I don't have issues. I'm just going to keep doing it. Because it's like, wait 5 years and something else is going to pop up. So can we maybe just briefly kind of define what autoimmune disease is?
Sure. And I want to backtrack, because to me, like, autoimmunity is, whether you're diagnosed or not, the symptom, whatever the symptoms are that cause you to go get a diagnosis, or is they're just that, it's symptoms, right? RA wasn't my problem. It was the symptom. It was my body, you know. So to answer your question in a very non-scientific, user-friendly kind of way, all chronic illness is caused by chronic inflammation. And so autoimmunity specifically is, you know, this chronic inflammation. One of the things that really plays into it, it is, it, then again, there's a lot of chicken and egg in these conversations. But when we have autoimmunity or have that chronic inflammation going on, it causes leaky gut. Or like, if you get leaky gut from something else, it will cause chronic inflammation. And what happens with autoimmunity is your immune system is hypervigilant, it's overactive, and it becomes imprecise. And so it's trying to protect you maybe from that dairy you were eating by going after the dairy protein. And there's a process called molecular mimicry, where our thyroid tissue looks a lot like dairy protein to a tired immune system, and it'll attack your tissue. And so people say to me, like, I have a program RA the right way. And people say, you know, oh, but, you know, I have MS. Can you work with me? It really is that your different autoimmune diagnosis is just which part of the body is being attacked by self first. And so, and like you said, if we don't address what is causing that inflammation, we will get 2, 3, 4, 5. I had a client who had 9 diagnoses. Unbelievable. She's doing great now, but so it really is, it's never too early and it's never too late. Like, the body will heal if we get to, you know, what is driving that inflammation.
And I agree. And with that, like, if we pick that client with the 9 diagnoses, a lot of the symptoms are probably overlapping.
A lot of them are overlapping, and you know, and certain systems, I think, motivate people a little more. When it was affecting her nervous system and her vascular system, all of a sudden she was like, holy cow, you know, I better get some help. Whereas when it was just RA and, you know, so we all have, and we also all have a different, you know, pressure point as to, some people it's like, I don't feel well, I'm going to fix this. Some people it's the diagnosis and they're like, heck no, I'm not going there. Some of us, like, we just don't know there's another option because the doctors aren't telling you there's another option.
So you were just touching on the underlying cause being chronic inflammation and leaky gut. So our gut being more permeable than it should be, and stuff circulating in the system where we don't want it, and they're causing issue in certain spots being the root cause. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I find a lot of people have heard that term of chronic inflammation, but a lot of people struggle to grasp it because it's not not common knowledge yet, I think.
It's not. People don't, I mean, like, I don't know that any doctor, you know, any Western allopathic doctor has ever even used the word inflammation, even in all those years, you know, maybe the rheumatologist, but like, let's just not even get there, right? Let's, I look at chronic inflammation. If you're living on this earth for any amount of time at this point in life, you're going to eventually accrue some chronic inflammation. Inflammation, actually, we think of it as a bad thing. It's a acute inflammation. It's kind of like stress, right? Like, acute inflammation is good. It signals a healing response. You know, cut yourself, and it's the inflammation is what is signaling heal, right? Send in the healing troops, those troops that get tired. But one huge cause, so I think of anything that we think of as, if you look at it, it's, we normalize chronic inflammation and we think of it as aging, mm-hmm. right? So it may be alarming for somebody who's 20, but if somebody is 40 or 45 and all of a sudden she's tired or she's achy or she's not sleeping well, or, you know, and you know, or her gut is unhappy, her brain, the brain fog is a huge issue. Mm-hmm. That's not age, that's inflammation. All of those aging syndromes that we think are normal are not normal, it's inflammation.
Yeah.
And so I look at it as it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, waking up not feeling refreshed is always one of my questions on my questionnaire, because even people that say, oh no, I'm a great sleeper, well, how do you feel in the morning? Oh, exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you have chronic, like, for sure you have chronic inflammation. And I think one of the reasons why autoimmunity is so rampant and all of these other issues are toxin loads. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Babies are being born with high toxic burdens, and so that's where I say, if you're on this planet, eventually, you know, and if you're a great detoxer, it may take decades to catch up. I'm a collector. I like to keep every toxin I ever encounter. And so for me, it hit me in my 30s, right? Because toxins affect gut health. Chronic stress affects gut health. Medications like antibiotics and other medication, NSAIDs, that's the other thing. People pop, you know, whatever their
painkiller of choice,
right? Yeah. You know, Motrin, Advil, all the things, and all of these things the body sees as toxins. And then this whole, which is your wheelhouse, our society is so set up to, you know, we pride ourselves on, I'm so busy, you know, I only get 4 hours of sleep at night, but I'm fine. No, there are essential processes going on when you're sleeping that only happen when you're sleeping. You're not detoxing if you're not sleeping, and you're definitely not detoxing your brain if you're not sleeping. And so whether it's an intentional badge of honor or the whole, like, I'll sleep when I'm dead, well, that's going to happen sooner if you're not, you know, or some of these other things that we're talking about that are impacting the sleep, like stress and pain and poor diet and all the blood sugar, all the thing, hormones.
Yeah. And from what you were just, all the things you were just listing, I think it's also, or could maybe also be an explanation why autoimmunity is found earlier and earlier and earlier in people's lives. So, right? Because kids are born, like babies are born with a toxin load that is scary to what it was 50 years ago or 100 years ago. They're exposed to ultra processed foods. They don't exercise, a lot of them, properly. We just
blue light all day long
and drink and I ingest stuff that's not natural, that the body doesn't know what to do. Yeah. And then it just all, it's that bucket, right? And there comes a point where it's full and overflows. And depending on, and I'm one of those not so great detoxers as well. Like, I notice it pretty quickly. If the load gets too high, the bucket doesn't drain.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, slow down and do your stuff that you know you have to do to listen to us.
I've been working on toxins for a decade, you know, and I was laughing. The last toxin panel I did I had high levels of glyphosate and BPA. Still, I was really focused on my other heavy metals and molds because those are really, you know, were huge too. I haven't used plastic in probably over a decade. And I've been eating organic ever since that was an option. And like, we grow a lot of our own food. And so all summer long, and it's like, that stuff's just stuck in my body. I mean, if I'm not actively working on detoxing, then I'm filling that bucket again, just because that, of
and I just learned the other day, there was a study done in the US a while back. I think it was in the US on a couple of states that it isn't like glyphosate's in the rain. It's in the air.
Oh,
so unless you have like a greenhouse and you filter your water and you.
Well, and it's funny because people, I have a client right now that I'm like, you know, she lives on a golf course. She has a golf course on one side and a farm on the other. And I'm like, I'm sure it looks pretty outside your window. You know, I have one of my closest friends lives in Iowa and she loves to go to the lake when she comes to Colorado because she won't get in a body of water in Iowa because of the glyphosate.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's just so crazy.
California is another one. They say even organic wine grown in California, when you test it, it has glyphosate in it.
Yeah. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's like, that's really the thing, like detox, 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 right? It's like the only thing
so
we
it
can
has
do.
To be intentional. Yeah.
So how, and I'm going to ask this question because I don't know if it's, which one is the true answer. Do women just happen to get diagnosed with autoimmunity more often than men, or do we actually have more autoimmune issues than men do?
We actually do have more autoimmune issues than men do.
Why?
Why? A few different reasons. One, to go back to the toxins, even those of us that are petite still carry more body fat than men do. And we store toxins in our fat. That's where humans store their toxins. So I think that that plays a big part. I think we're holding on to more toxins just from being a woman. But a really big thing is hormones. Hormones play a big role in autoimmunity. That's why, yes, you know, even younger autoimmunity is on the rise, but really typical for women in perimenopause and menopause, all of a sudden they have autoimmune symptoms. And it's because of hormones. And we're designed, if you think about women carrying babies, right? So we're actually like letting a creature live inside us. So our whole immune system is a little different than men's. And so I think all of those things combined just really speak to that kind of, it's almost like, you know, 3-to-1. Women to men. It's not just because men don't like to go to the doctor.
And is it, if we talk about hormones, so do you think it's mostly a sex hormone thing, so progesterone, estrogen, or estradiol, or is it also a cortisol issue in autoimmune?
Yes. It's all of the things, right? That chronic stress leads to chronic inflammation. And so having your, you know, cortisol chronically elevated or depleted because it's been elevated so long, huge. And cortisol is actually anti-inflammatory. So, you know, people think, oh, it's like the word stress, right? Like, oh, cortisol is bad. No, cortisol is awesome at the right level when our body is in balance. And it's the same with progesterone, estradiol, esterone, which is another estrogen, is an inflammatory estrogen. And so as women are putting on weight, and sometimes weight around the middle, that tends to increase estrogen, and it'll sit in that kind of, in that belly fat, that'll drive inflammation. But also just estrogen and progesterone being out of balance with each other, which is part of perimenopause, right? Our progesterone tends to fall off.
Yeah.
And this is a sleep podcast, right? Like progesterone is a calm, relaxing hormone. And so when that starts to fall off, you know, that can not only drive inflammation and autoimmunity, but really affect sleep as well. Yeah.
Do you see, maybe we can dive into that. Do you see people with autoimmune diseases struggle with sleep?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah.
And again, this is another chicken or egg, right? Because we know we need good quality, consistent sleep to stay healthy and to detox and recharge and reset. But also, especially so many, most autoimmune conditions come with some type of pain. And so I can remember, only two things bothered me when I would sleep. Moving would hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'd move in my sleep, that would wake me because it would hurt. And if I laid in a position for too long, that would hurt. So, you know, it was this just constant struggle, which is really common. And then in conditions like multiple sclerosis, often there's a, you know, leg movement, restless leg type, which can wake you even. And a lot of times people don't even realize, I call it almost like micro waking, like you're aware, you're awake, it's interrupting that restorative sleep. But people may think they sleep through the night, right? They may say, oh no, I sleep through the night, but it's not, they're not getting that quality sleep. Yeah.
Yes, and, I absolutely agree. It's like all the pain, and pain is so tricky with sleep, right? Like there's ways to look into what I do now with people, which I find is going quite well. Well, gut is always the underlying, like you were saying, right? The leaky gut. But neurotransmitters, looking into how can we modulate a pain response by helping the body making some things it can't make right now because your gut's a mess.
Right.
So right? Like you're not making serotonin.
Blocks. Right.
You're not modulating your pain properly because you're just stressed. And again, chicken and the egg, what harmed your gut? We don't know, but we want to fix it so your body can get rid of the pain by itself, potentially, because it's not inflaming the system nonstop, right? And your body's able to make these messengers that just calm the pain. Or if you don't have cortisol anymore, like I did for a long time, you feel every pain so much more. I'm like, I'm in constant pain and nobody finds anything. And they're like, oh yeah, you have no cortisol.
You look fine.
Like, no, I feel like I could sleep all day. And if I actually measure, okay, I should be, I have nothing that keeps me awake. And yeah, of course, then if cortisol is low, then you also don't have your natural painkiller.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's where that balance is really essential. Yeah. And you can't break a pain cycle if you're not sleeping. So it does become, you know, it becomes a snowball until somebody finds you or me or somebody, you know, to walk them through. And that's the problem. A lot of people I've encountered, you know, they've done a lot of good things, but they've done them one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't get the results. Right. So, you know, if you're just focused on gut and you're not handling the rest, it's not going to help. If you're just focused on toxins, you know, I always say, like, there is no question I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing, because I really, just knowing what my toxic burden actually was, I shouldn't have been able to make some lifestyle changes and feel as well as I did, in order to even be able to go back to school and learn more. So I, now that I know what I know, I'm like, wow, okay, this was supposed to be my path. And I'm really grateful, because really for me, changing diet and stress management was enough together to get me sleeping, which mm-hmm. was like, I literally can remember, like, in distinct detail, the first day I woke up feeling refreshed. Like, I didn't think I would ever wake up feeling refreshed. You know, I could sleep 12, 13 hours and wake mm-hmm. up exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, for everybody listening that may be struggling with sleep, there is hope, I promise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I think it is this, if you're struggling and you've tried everything, and we're talking about something different here, we're not talking about therapy or those kinds of things, which might have their place, but it's really that look at what's going on in your body. If you have anything, like just this chronic fatigue or the brain fog or digestive issues,
right, those aches that you think are just because you're getting older, they should not be there.
It's really this, it's time to start to dig deeper and see what's going on and numbing that with painkillers, it's like, it's not going to make it any better. Your system's going to start breaking down more. Your liver is going to be more burdened with it. Like, the more we age, the harder this is going to get. You were just saying sleep is one of the things. And then you mentioned stress, and then you mentioned diet. What are your pillars when you start working with somebody and start to address autoimmunity? What do you actually look at with them?
Yep. So the framework is going to include all five pillars. And movement's an interesting one, because I think one of the drivers of chronic inflammation is, like you mentioned before, kids are sitting around, right? Like the sedentary lifestyle. But a lot of people that I work with that have autoimmunity are actually over-exercising.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing they're not gonna, you know, let autoimmunity take away from them. And so they're unknowingly driving inflammation. Mm-hmm. So movement, we've got to dial in. I used to always start with food, because we're talking about gut and gut health, and it's so important. But that was because I was a less experienced coach. So I always, always, always start with stress management and supporting clients in creating their own personalized stress management routine, because it's going to impact sleep, digestion, all the things. And so we start there, because I've yet to meet anybody who has a stress management routine that's like dialed in. I have had a couple people that have their nutrition and food dialed in. We can all always do better with stress management. And so we start there. And for me, that also includes joy,
yes,
which so many people, once they've been, you know, chronically struggling, they just, it breaks my heart how many times when I ask somebody what they do for joy or what brings them joy, they just have that deer in the headlights look, like they don't even remember. So we start there.
Yes, do something every day that brings you joy. And it's even, and it doesn't have to be a big thing, right?
No. Mm-mm. Like, you know, look at puppies on Instagram, or I have some clients, literally, it's like watching old sitcoms was their homework, just to, because I don't care if you think it's manufactured laughter. If you're laughing, you're getting those neurotransmitters and those chemicals that we need for healing and reducing inflammation. And then it snowballs, right? It's like almost like working a muscle. People sometimes have forgotten what it feels like to live joyfully.
What about one tool I like to use with clients? I don't know if you use that, is gratitude.
Oh, every client, yes. Gratitude journal and short, like for my clients, it's three things a day.
Yeah.
And you can always do more, but it's not, I've had a few clients over the years, and now I tell them, you know, do not buy a fancy journal. Because I've had a few people that just didn't do it. And then I found out that they bought themselves this fancy journal that had all these prompts that would take like an hour to do a day. Like, mm-hmm. Nobody's, you know, they're not coming in with the energy to do that. So three things a day, and that does it. And it will also improve your sleep.
Yes. I find it's really, if you do it, like I like to have it at night. And it's just, and people are sometimes like, I don't understand this gratitude concept, because it's also a practice, like you have to practice it, and it gets easier.
It is a practice.
But I think it's like, I always do it with our little one, because he loves it, and he calls it highlights.
Yeah.
And he says, well, mom, what were your three highlights for the day? And then I think, and then we talk about them. I'm like, well, what are yours? And then he gives me his. And then he falls asleep. He's like, this is so easy for me, because if I do that, I can fall asleep so much better. I'm like, yeah, it really is.
I love it.
And it's just really like, what were the things that made you smile or made you feel good that day, right? That's all we want to.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like a big thing. You know, I had one client who last week wrote in her gratitude journal, one of her gratitudes was that she, you know, she was doing it. Like, I was like, that's fine. Like,
that's perfect.
It doesn't matter what it is. It could be, you know, you saw a beautiful flower on a walk. It could be, I tell my clients, you know, the ones that are really struggling, you know, if you're having that kind of a day, if you can pick up the pen that's something to be grateful for. You can see the paper, or, you know, start with your body. Like, because we tend to forget to be grateful for what is working well. We're so focused on what hurts, or if we're tired, or that can be a good, just if you're stuck, to get you unstuck. Is,
yes.
Something is working right in your body if you're still here.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about, you said you used to start with diet. Okay, so we do the stress management part first, so we hopefully sleep better. So
we continue to build, you know.
And then we got to build other habits in there. And what's something that you would say, maybe somebody who has an autoimmune condition and is not currently working with a coach, mm-hmm. what could they do? What's like the one thing or two things where you would say that's really a non-negotiable, and like a something that everybody with an autoimmune condition should do?
Yeah, this is not popular.
Yeah.
If you have an autoimmune condition, you absolutely need to be avoiding gluten, and not kind of, sort of, sometimes, mm-hmm. mostly. Really, you need to be gluten-free, because it goes back to that whole leaky gut and how that plays in. And we know that gluten is one of the causes of leaky gut. So it's just not your friend if you have autoimmunity.
And I know people struggle with this because we're like, my partner, the household, I don't want to ever be. There's so many good gluten-free alternatives out there now. The other thing, maybe to explain what you just, maybe to go on to what you just said, there are studies that show that everybody who consumes gluten, you don't have to be celiacs, you don't have to be gluten sensitive, anybody who consumes gluten gets a leaky gut.
Yes.
There are people who can deal better with this, so their gut fixes itself faster than other people. If you already have an autoimmune condition and your inflammation is already high, you're just pouring oil in the fire. That's all you're doing. You're never giving the body the chance to heal that gut, that mechanism to get that inflammation down, if you keep pouring gluten into the system. And this is not...
it's not theory. It's science.
A doctor will never tell you.
Right. Unless you have a functional medicine doctor.
Yes,
and
but
even
like your
some
Western,
of them.
Your family, your general family practitioner.
Yeah.
Let's say you don't have celiacs, or you can eat gluten.
Yeah. No, it's so true. And that's why my clients, once they're feeling well, and I always do an elimination, a customized elimination diet with my clients. And we do the reintroductions, you know, because that's the gold. That's where you get the information. None of my clients put gluten back in full time. Mm-hmm. They do a reintroduction because then they can actually feel the inflammation. We're talking like a day or two. That's it.
Yeah.
And they don't ever want to take the chance of going back to being sick again. And so why would they do that?
Yeah,
I don't know, but it sounds so hard in the beginning. And the motivator is when you feel really well, you don't want to mess with that. And like you said, you're not going to pour oil on that fire for sure.
And I think it's for a lot of people, at least in my experience, because I also look at diet and lifestyle and all of some things, of course, the diet modification is often the most stressful for people to do.
That's why I don't start there.
Yeah, because it touches so many areas of your life, including other people potentially. So it could be a little more effort potentially to do it. On the other hand, I see people who are doing it for that time period very quickly see improvement.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but if I take out gluten and dairy and sugar and alcohol for 2 weeks, people are like, my energy is better. I'm starting to sleep better. My digestion is improving. The brain fog's lifting. Like, it's just from that often that relief comes. And we haven't even looked at the stool test results. We haven't put a protocol in place other than eliminating those foods. There aren't many supplements in the body at that point. So it's just taking those offenders out that helps the body to just calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can really feel the difference. And it is, and that's where I think doing some of the things, I was already gluten-free when I had my, aha moment with my daughter, because my son had been diagnosed celiac I went gluten-free to support him. And I noticed like, oh, my joint pain isn't quite as bad as it had been. Sure enough. Well, because that was actually my first autoimmune condition. It just hadn't been diagnosed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so adjusting my diet further definitely helped, but it really wasn't until, and that's why sometimes it takes more than just diet for people to really feel that difference. And the stress management piece is huge, because it also, and that's the thing, that it's all interwoven, right? You said, you know, just taking out some of those big inflammatory foods, you know, helps improve sleep. And then sleep's going to help improve the healing. Stress management is going to help improve, you know, it all ties together.
Yes. It's a big puzzle, right? And for some
there's people, no one and done. Yeah.
And no, exactly. And the pieces have, I always explain that to my clients too, depending on what their root cause issue for their sleep issues is, we have that puzzle, but everybody's puzzle pieces have different sizes. So some things might be like the way you run your life, the way you stress about things might be bigger for you than somebody else who might have a hormone imbalance that is contributing more significantly, or a gut issue or toxic burden or whatever it is, right? It's just, it's the puzzle pieces are the same, but we have to individually still look at what is your personal.
Right. So we know if we optimize each of those pieces, people are going to heal and sleep well.
Yes.
Right. But it is, it's what is that priority in your life with your body right now? And you can take that same person and maybe, you know, 6 months ago, there should have been a different puzzle piece first. It just depends on what's going on and what feels manageable. You know, that's the kinder, gentler coach I've become, is like, oh, let's not stress the clients out as we're trying to heal, right? Let's make this manageable. And self-love is a huge piece. What I see with, I've yet to have a client come in the door that working on self-love did not improve health. And it makes actually making those changes easier, right? Even if you've got other people in your household that want their gluten or aren't supportive, if all of a sudden, which is a shift, especially for women, especially for mothers, to all of a sudden, you know, self-care is not selfish. It is the way to be the best mom, the best partner, the best friend, the best employee, employer, whatever. It's that oxygen mask on yourself first. But that's a huge mindset shift for people. That takes time. And then the rest becomes easy.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
But it is, that is the biggest, getting to that point to then be able to also have these potentially what feels like uncomfortable conversations, right? And saying, no, we're going to do it this way now. And I'm going to recruit you for help, or we're not going to do this anymore. I'm going to put myself on the calendar and I'm actually going to follow through with that. Yeah.
Right.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. It takes, you know, it's like the gratitude, it takes practice, just like the gratitude. It's a practice.
And so, it's also, I think sometimes, like a lot of clients I work with, and I'm like that too, like a bit of a perfectionist type person.
And literally every client who's ever come through my door, and it took me, I don't know how many years of working with my perfectionist clients to realize, oh, I'm a perfectionist too. Who knew? I would have never thought that about myself. And now I'm like, holy moly. And it is absolutely like the number one common denominator.
It is. And I think that's sometimes what makes us struggle with that concept even more.
Yeah.
It's like, no, let's just go on that journey together. And it's not going to be perfect when we started, because we're practicing.
Yes.
And that's okay. And we'll get there. And the more we do it, the better we get at it.
Yeah. And the more, and that's that self-love, right? The more we can at least even identify, like, oh, there's that perfectionist again.
There she is again. Yeah.
The more, the better we can heal, you know? Yeah. So that's, absolutely. I love that you said that. It is so true. It is a common thread. Yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised. This is a total hypothesis that I don't even know if anybody's ever looked at that. If that's a personality trait that shows up with autoimmunity more, because we are the, I want to be in control. I'm managing everybody. Give it to me. If you can't do it fast enough, I can do this better than you. Like, we put a lot of stress. We like to often ride on cortisol, I find. Like, we do really well with that for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And eventually the scale just tips.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so for sure. I mean, I know they've linked, you know, like not using your voice to thyroid issue. Yeah. There's definitely different personality traits. And actually, if you look at that kind of emotional stuffing that is considered linked with autoimmunity, there is a perfectionism piece to that, right? We're doing that to, you know, just whether it's to, you know, please other people, but I think there is a thread there for sure. And it'd be fun to see some data come out about
it. Would be, but I
would love to meet somebody who has autoimmunity. If you're listening and you have autoimmunity and you're sure you're not a perfectionist, reach out to me.
Talk to Julie. We're going to dive into that.
We can all look different, by the way. Perfectionism doesn't look the same on everybody. So
that's true too. But I think if we think about, like, and I'm going to say us now as the perfectionists, mm-hmm. who want to be in control, it's actually helping us in these situations because, like we said in the beginning, the body can heal if we listen. And we have this, and I see this in a lot of my clients, and I'm sure you do too. Once they commit to working True. With you, because they are so, I want to be in control, I'm somewhat perfectionist, they follow through.
They do follow through, but what can trip them up is that tendency for all or nothing. And so sometimes the perfectionists, if they aren't perfect, then they toss the whole thing out.
But that's what we're there for, right?
That's what we're there for. And we learn. I have a client right now that is what we're focused on. Because she's a previous client who, amazing, amazing woman. She's in her 60s. She had high blood pressure. She was on 2 blood pressure medications. She had, by the time she hired me, she was diabetic, not even pre-diabetic, full-blown type 2 diabetes. So she was on blood sugar medication and horrible GI symptoms that she just had lived with for years and years, and got off all those meds, reversed all those conditions, felt amazing. Reached out to me a year and a half later that she was trending backward because we hadn't nailed that imperfection piece. Mm-hmm. Right. And none mm-hmm. of us can be perfect forever. You know, people say to me, oh, come on, you never cheat with gluten. I don't, because I get so sick.
Well, you have celiac. Yeah.
That's not even, but so we're doing a little brush up together to get her back on track. But what we're focused on is have the cookie, don't mm-hmm. have the box, but don't not have the, you're going to have the cookie. So have it now while we can learn to be intentional and that's not being imperfect. And so you don't have to toss the whole thing out. It's intentional.
Exactly. And I had a client, well, she came to me with sleep issues, but she then turned out she also had lichen, a skin condition, autoimmune mm-hmm. skin condition. And she had been on cortisone for years. Her adrenals were not, like, the body was shot. I was like, why are you on something like that long-term? Well, because we can't figure it out. And then it's like, well, yeah, number one thing, we're going to take out gluten, like do. And she's like, oh no, my partner is Italian with the pasta. This is all
good. Oh, there's always, yeah, there's not, everybody has.
But she made it work. She's like, I'll try. Cause this is like a problem. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So she tried 2 weeks, no gluten. She's like, I'd use this cream now twice a week. That was after 2 weeks instead of every day. And then we got her off within a couple months. She's like, but I kind of want to do a little bit of stuff like here and there. And then she found this sourdough that she can have, and it's fine. It's not flaring after like months of protocol in the gut, right? Okay. So she's fine with it. It doesn't cause any flares. And then her partner accidentally bought the wrong sourdough. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we know what to do. We're going to go on this and this and this. We're calmed it down and stay on the other one. And there's things like you can do, right? Even the, if you don't have celiacs, yes, which is an autoimmune condition, then you don't want to do that. But there's other things where when you heal your body.
Sure, it's resilient.
You can go back to certain things, right? It doesn't have to be super perfect even, because then it's going to stress us even more.
Right. And in our country, I have to say, you know, is it the gluten? Is it the glyphosate? You know, the gluten's been messed with in our country. There's glyphosate all in our grains. I know even people with celiac that can have gluten in Europe and they're fine. I would be afraid to try because it would ruin my whole trip. but you know, if it's, you know, unbleached, it's a different, the gluten that we have, especially in the processed foods, in North America is not naturally occurring gluten. And so, you know, I don't know, is it the toxin? Is it the amount of gluten and what they've messed with it? I'm not sure. And so I love that. I had a client who was 72 and she'd had eczema her whole life. And she would, that's not, it would like came up as an aside. She was a referral, from a functional medicine doctor who knew she could be healthier. And she looked at me like I had three heads when I said, you know, well, as we do this protocol, we're going to also find, you know, it'll tell us what's causing your eczema. She's like, I'm 72. I've had eczema since I was two. Yeah, it was corn. It wasn't gluten, but it was corn. And so it's just so fun. That's what I mean by it's never too late. And the example you gave is, you know, they say your skin is a direct reflection of what's going on in your gut, right? So everything from, you know, psoriasis, eczema, lichens, acne, dry skin, you name, blotchy skin, red skin, like, that means you've got some work to do on your gut.
What's going on? Absolutely.
Yeah.
This was so fun. Can we summarize quickly the five pillars?
Yes. So the five pillars that all of us need to be considering, even if you feel well, but maybe you don't have the energy or, you know, your sleep is off, but you're not, you know, struggling where you're going to reach out to Annika. The five pillars would be sleep, stress management, movement, nutrition, and toxins. Those are my five pillars.
And if people wanted to dive into that with you, where can they find you?
The easiest place to find me, because I like shortcuts, maybe it's the perfectionist in me, is jm.coach. And then from there, you could reach out on my website or social, all of the links, the podcast, all the things are on that one page and it'll take you wherever you want to go. And so I welcome if somebody feels like I could be supportive, just hop on my website and book a call.
Awesome. And I think you also have a little gift for the listeners.
I do, because I love helping people address their inflammation. I have created something I call the inflammation checklist. And it actually goes to exactly what you were saying of, you know, which puzzle pieces people need to start with. And so the inflammation checklist can give them an idea of, you know, potentially what's driving their inflammation and some steps they can take to start to get it going in the other direction. And that is jm.coach/sleepboss.
Awesome. And we will drop all your links and everything in the show notes for sure. Julie, it was an absolute pleasure having you.
The pleasure is mine. And for those of you that missed it, you can check out episode 112 of my podcast and listen to Annika on Inspired Living, because it was another great conversation.
It was a really fun conversation. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you everyone for listening and watching, and we'll be there in 2 weeks with another episode. See you then. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sleep Like a Boss podcast with me, Annika Carroll. Be sure to follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We also invite you to play the game of sleep with us, if you haven't done so, at sleeplikeaboss.com. This podcast is for informational purposes only. We hope you enjoyed the episode. And until next time, and to a good night's sleep.